So what are the deferred tax implications for a lessee in entering into a right of use lease? My name is Tom Clendon and I help students pass SBR. And that question that I just posed is really typical of SBR. It requires you to be able to discuss more than one accounting standard in an applied and practical way. Now, before I give you the punchline, before I fully explain things, let me just make sure that everybody is comfortable with lessee accounting and everybody is comfortable with deferred tax. If you are a lessee and you enter into a lease, you will recognise simultaneously, initially, both an asset, a right of use asset, and a lease obligation. Debit the asset, credit the liability. And these will be normally recognised at the present value of the minimum lease payments. The asset will be depreciated and the liability will be subject to amortised cost, so there will be a finance cost being charged with the cash repaid, reducing the liability. This is in accordance with substance, faithful representation, because we control the asset even though we don't legally own it. It also makes sure that the liability is on the balance sheet that we have an obligation to pay our lease obligations. Through the P&L goes depreciation, through the P&L goes finance cost, and the actual cash that we are paying reduces the liability. ISA 12, deferred tax. Now, in essence, deferred tax is provided for in full on all year-end temporary differences between the carrying value of assets and liabilities and their corresponding tax base. Where you have a taxable temporary difference, you have a deferred tax liability. Where you have a deductible temporary difference, you have a deferred tax asset. Now, so far, I have been dealing with the accounting standards in isolation. And if we're going to answer this question, we've got to understand the interrelationship between the two. So let me remind myself of the question. What's the deferred tax implications of a lessee entering into a right of use asset? Now, maybe it will help you understand what's going on if I make up some very, very simple numbers. And maybe if you've got a pen and paper, you might want to write these down. Let's imagine that when you enter into the lease, it's $10,000. So you're debiting a right of use asset, $10,000. You're crediting a lease liability, $10,000. There's no transaction costs, initial recognition, $10,000, asset and liability. Now, at that stage, there is no deductible, taxable, temporary differences to worry about. It's what happens in 12 months' time that interests me. The asset will be depreciated. Let's imagine, for sake of argument, it's a five-year life, depreciation is $2,000, and therefore, at the end of the year, the net book value, the carrying value, is $8,000. Now, the liability will go up and down. It will go up with the finance cost. It will go down with the cash that we repay. Let me just say, for sake of argument, that at the year end, the first year end, the liability is $8,100. So we've got the numbers. And the numbers can help us understand the explanation. Let's look at the asset. The asset has a carrying value of eight, but it has a tax base of nil because the tax man is not recognising that an asset exists. The tax man doesn't go along with substance. So the tax base of a right of use asset is nil. Now, what that means is there is a temporary difference with an asset of 8,000, a tax base of nil, and that would be a taxable temporary difference of 8,000. Now, with your liability, the carrying value of your liability at the end of the first year is 8,100. But again, the tax base is nil, because the taxman is not recognising the substance of the transaction. That's our accounting imagination. That's our truth and fairness. Doesn't recognise the asset, doesn't recognise the liability. So the tax base of that liability is zero. And because it's got a carrying value of 8,100, that means there is a temporary difference of 8,100. That is a deductible temporary difference. So we have a taxable temporary difference of 8 and a deductible temporary difference of 8.1. And therefore, because it all relates to the lease, those two are netted against each other. We have, therefore, a 100 net deductible temporary difference. And if the tax rate was 20%, this would lead us to having a deferred tax asset of 20 at the year end to be accounted for in full. So if a question like this comes up, yes, I'm sure there's a mark for talking about leases. Yes, as I'm sure there's a mark for talking about deferred tax in theory, in principle. But there's going to be the majority of the marks, two or three marks, available for that interplay, that discussion, that identification that there is a taxable temporary difference on the asset and a deductible temporary difference on the liability, and the two will be netted off. And if there are numbers, well, the numbers are very simple. So the numbers would only be worth one or two marks. So this could be a package of a 6 or 7 mark exercise. Brilliant. Thank you. Shall I throw in a bit more? Why not? Cash flow. The finance costs and the depreciation that goes through the P&L, those are added back in the cash flow statement, aren't they? Because they are non-cash transactions. Yeah? Love it. Well done. If this was a bit heavy for you, apologies, but have another listen to it. This is one of the advantages of listening to a podcast. You can listen to it again. My name is Tom Glendon. I help students pass SBR. If you need to pass SBR, reach out to me. One way of doing so is contacting me on my WhatsApp. I'm in the UK. It's 07725 350 793. Thank you for listening.